All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Happy Friday, hockey fans. Welcome into Daily Faceoff Live, streaming live on the DFO YouTube, and as always, brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Colby Cohen, my co-host for the week. You're done your double duty week. Morning cup of hockey and DFO Live, all done before 12:30. You made it, though, Colby.
Yeah, it's been a fun week sitting in for our man, Frank Saravalli. I can't wait to see what his tan looks like when he gets back next week, or maybe he'll have a sunburn the same color as my hat. We'll find out in about 72 hours or so, 84, something like that.
I'm leaning on sunburn. Frank Saravalli living his best life on the beach, but he did drop in a little bit of news yesterday, and I wanted to hit on this quickly because we didn't do it on yesterday's show because it broke in the afternoon. But Frank says, sounds like there's a small salary cap charge coming for the Chicago Blackhawks as a result of the settlement between the Hawks, Perry, the NHL, and the PA. Rather than a grievance, a financial resolution was reached. The Chicago Blackhawks are one of the few teams in the NHL, Colby, who might see a salary cap charge coming and be like, hey, we're down. That helps us get to the floor. We're in.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a big problem for Kyle Davidson. And I told you the other day, don't expect to see him, you know, big game hunting this year in the UFA market, handing out long, massive contracts. So we can move along as we were, because this really is no big deal.
The NHL says, we're going to give you a cap charge. Davidson says, can you double it, triple it? I'm in, whatever you want to do.
Maybe they can filter some of that money our way, Tyler. Then we could talk and we could work something out.
Hey, they're giving Nick Foligno $4.5 million. I'd do anything for league minimum in the NHL. Let's get into things from last night. Also, Steven Ellis is going to swing by in a little bit with a new edition of The Next Wave, Colby. But some results from last night on the ice in the NHL. It was a busy evening in the league, and two games I want to zero in on involve some fringe playoff teams. Teams just looking to stay in the fight. They probably have to win 8 or 9 in a row at some point, but you can't win 8 or 9 straight without winning 1 straight. The New Jersey Devils stuck in the win column with a 6-2 dub over the Dallas Stars. It was Jake Allen's debut, and it did not get off to a good start for Allen. He gives up a goal 15 seconds in, but he bounces back really nice. 946 save percentage. The Devils get 6 goals from 6 different goal scorers in that game. So the depth comes through for New Jersey, but most importantly is they got the save. So the deadline out of Allen is working out early on. They're in that 6th wildcard spot right now, Colby. Is good goaltending going to be enough to get this team back in the mix?
I don't think so, Tyler. I think it's just going to be too little too late. And, you know, you still look at the inexperience on their blue line, and you still look at, you know, the way that, you know, you're seeing a little bit of high risk, high reward hockey from some of these young players who are learning. You know, you're not holding it against them. They're being put in situations that are incredibly difficult for young first year defensemen, and expecting them to play against other top teams night in and night out and be successful. It's a big ask. It's one thing to have a good night here and a good night there. It's another thing to do it consistently. But I will say this, when you have Jake Allen in the net or Cap, you know, Kapanen from the San Jose trade, it does change the confidence level, and it also changes the margin for error. Okay. I'm not saying it you just signed Carey Price or Connor Hellebuck or brought him in, but you got a major upgrade in goal. You've got a guy who you can trust and count on to make the first save. And I think when that raises the margin of error, your team can play a little bit more confidence. You don't see those goals go in that deflate you, although that goal did go in early in that hockey game last night. Jake Allen did make quite a few saves the rest of the game. So I do think it's too little too late for the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, and another thing just working against them, Gavin, if we could pop up the standings again out in the Eastern Conference, like, it's one thing to sit there and go, okay, you're the Devils. You're 4 points back of the New York Islanders for that last wild card spot. You could even, if you're New Jersey, sit there and say, hey, you got a game in hand on Philly and you're 8 points back. Maybe that's attainable. But then the issue is Pittsburgh, if they win their game in hand, has jumped you. Buffalo is right around where you are if you're the Devils, and you got to jump Washington, and you got to jump the Red Wings. And at this point in the season, there's so many interconference, interdivision games to be played. Jumping that many teams in the final 15, 16, 17 games of the year, like, the math just isn't quite
someone
there.
Always just getting points.
And on some nights, both teams are getting points in today's NHL with the existence of the loser point. So I just, again, even if New Jersey were to go, like, they have 16 games left, if they were to go 12-4, I don't think that's even going to be enough for them to get in, because some other team's probably going to go 10-6 and stay ahead of you.
And if you're in a playoff spot right now and you finish the year at 500, you're probably making the playoffs because of the dynamic of who's playing who this time of year, and the reality of everybody is picking up points on a nightly basis.
No team's better at scooping up the loser point than the New York Islanders. Quickly out in the Western Conference, the Minnesota Wild, we talked about maybe that win over Nashville with the big balls play from John Hines being a spark. It's been a spark. Three straight wins for them. Marc-Andre Fleury, a 16-save shutout. Unlike Jersey, they just have to jump into a playoff spot. There's not that mush.
Yeah, this team from Minnesota right now, Tyler, they've really buckled down defensively. I mean, they gave up 16 shots, albeit to the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, and I know we're not supposed to call them the Mighty Ducks anymore, so wait for the people in the chat to correct me on that, but I'm staying with it. They've just defended around their net a lot better. Another 24.5-minute night for Brock Faber, who's just been tremendous for this team. You see Kaprizov get on the board with a goal. They're getting goaltending. They're still running hot from that OT decision that John Hines made. They do have a new coach, so I think players have a little bit extra motivation to really finish this season hard, to try to set themselves up in a good light with John Hines for next year, because you know Bill Guerin is not the type of guy to really sit on his hands. I don't know, though, because you look at the teams that they're chasing. I still think Vegas, although they still don't look good, suffering another bad loss, I still think they're going to find their way into the playoffs, right? And I don't think you're going to catch Nashville, who's been the hottest team as of late. So they'll push. And knowing John Hines as well as I do from playing for him, he will expect his players to continue to push and continue to give all the effort. But I know that's normal, right? You're in the NHL. You should be doing that anyway. So I think, again, it's going to be probably too little too late. 4 weeks ago, I thought that they would do it. I thought that they would push. I thought they'd get their way into the playoffs, but I think Nashville is just going to make it too difficult.
5-1-1 in the month of March are the Minnesota Wild. They have six more games remaining in the calendar month, four of them against non-playoff teams, one of them against the Vegas Golden Knights. If you want to hold on to some hope, if you're a Wild fan, you're 4 points back of Vegas, you play them two more times. You can basically look at those two nights on the schedule and say, Those are two game sevens for us. You need to win those if you want to have a shot at getting into the postseason. It's Friday, Colby, and I know usually we play fair or foul on Mondays, but there were a couple things that popped up last night around the league that I wanted to get your take on. First, the Toronto Maple Leafs up 6-1 on the Philadelphia Flyers, and Sheldon Keefe opts to they were up 6-1 at the time. He opts to go with the top power play unit. The Flyers bench was upset with this. I'm of the mindset that you can put whoever you want on the ice at any time. Like what? Just because you're up 6-1, you can't play your good players? Again, Toronto's in the mode of making sure they're playing their best hockey come playoff time. If they want to give their top power play unit another chance to work on some stuff, do it. I don't care. I think it's a loser mentality to be like, oh, you're not putting bad players on the ice because you're beating us. Fair or foul?
Yeah, I had no problem with it. I think fair. And when you heard Sheldon Keefe talk about it after the game, he tried to rest his top guys in the third period. He tried to play the bottom of the lineup with more minutes, with more opportunity. And those guys were tired at the end of the game. And you have a guy like Austin Matthews just sitting there on the bench. And every player, no matter what time of game, Tyler, when that hand goes up, the first thing you do, okay, is turn around and look at the coach. That means I want to go out on the ice, right? So I have no problem with this. Toronto completely outclassed the Flyers last night. We're going to talk about a funny moment from that game later in garbage time, but I really didn't have any problem with it whatsoever. And I'm kind of surprised Sheldon Keefe addressed it the way that he did in his post-game media conference.
Yeah, I just think, again, like to break that down to be like, well, and it's kind of similar, and I know people are saying, well, the Leafs got all upset because Ridley Gregg broke the code when he fired a slap shot into an empty net. Hey, man, listen, I thought that was fine, too. I thought it's whatever.
I loved all of it. I loved what he did. I loved the response. I don't mind what Toronto did. Listen, this is professional sports. This is people's jobs on the line, okay? Win or go home, what have you done for me lately? I don't want to hear about, you know, not putting your good players on the ice because you're up by a goal. That's like some you know, squirt level, like minor hockey crybaby shit, in my opinion.
Second one I got for you, Claude Giroux. Man, the Ottawa Senators love taking slap shots. He goes in a shootout against the Columbus Blue Jackets, and he just winds up and hammers one. Fair or foul on the slap shot in the shootout?
Completely fair. And not to mention, this isn't the first time Claude Giroux has done that on a breakaway. You go back and look at the history of his career, he's done that numerous times. And the reality is like the young crowd doesn't like slap shots, right? These guys all play with 65 and 75 flex sticks. None of them can take a one-timer. None of them like slap shots. They think it's some dinosaur type of shit. Here comes old school Claude Giroux, just winds up, takes the howitzer, bar down, mind you. I mean, I absolutely love the confidence in the slapper. Me and my career, Tyler, I lived and died by the slap shot. Lived and died by it. So you know what? I'm going to say fair, and I'm going to give him an A+ and high marks. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Back in my day, the stick would be damn near tickling the rafters before I shoot the puck.
Look, I got I've got an Easton stick behind me. I think most kids don't even know what that is.
Good point. Okay, we are running behind, so we got to keep moving along here. A little bit of news off the ice yesterday as we get set for a couple of years where we'll get best on best hockey. Hockey Canada has named Doug Armstrong as their GM for the 2026 Olympics. Armstrong's also going to oversee the management groups for World Championships and the Four Nations Face-Off next spring. The veteran GM, he's been at the helm for the Blues for almost 15 years now. Slam dunk choice, I think, for Canada's Olympic GM. Olympic GM. Pierre LeBrun was reporting some leading candidates to be the GM for Canada at the Four Nations Face-Off include Kelly McCrimmon, Don Sweeney, Kevin Cheveldayoff, Jim Nill, and Julian Brisebois out in Tampa Bay. I also thought it was interesting to see Ryan Getzlaf is going to be starting his managerial career and will be working aside Doug Armstrong for this. Colby, the question I'm going to flip to you, though, when you look at that Four Nations Face-Off coming next year, our first chance in, I mean, over a decade to see a best-on-best Canadian roster, who are two players you're excited to see play next to each other on this team?
MacKinnon and McDavid. You know, you're talking about the best two players in the world and getting to see them on a power play together. I know they're both centers, so you're probably not going to necessarily see them on a line together, but I think seeing those two guys wearing the same jersey will be really exciting.
I know Steven Ellis had a kind of mock lineup thrown together for Daily Faceoff a couple of weeks ago. Let me get you one more fair or foul. I'm usually on this show, I'm very good at not being an Oilers homer, all right? But fair or foul, and hey, Steven Ellis has it. Four Edmonton Oilers potentially on a best-on-best Canadian roster with Bouchard, Skinner, Hyman, and obviously Connor McDavid.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're not reaching on any of these players, you know? I mean, the way Bouchard has played this year, he's played his way in. You know, Zach Hyman is Connor McDavid's go-to man. He's got 50, you know, we know the goals that he has this year. They all come from playing around with Connor McDavid. It's just like when Chris Kunitz played with Sidney Crosby, right? Same type of thing. So we'll see what happens. There's still time, but I don't see why not. That wouldn't be a likely scenario. Yeah.
All right. The GM meetings are coming up right away.
Oh, wait, hold on 1 second. Oh. 1 second. I do want to touch on one thing. I would say this about Steven Ellis's his line chart.
Oh,
okay,
boy.
I'm sorry. But I would say he's missing Macklin Celebrini and he's missing Adam Fantilli. And those are two guys that I think will make Canada, maybe not for this, but by the Olympics, you'll see Celebrini, Fantilli, and Connor Bedard all on that Team Canada list.
Interesting of him to include Mark Stone, Canada keeping the option open to have some LTIR space ahead of the tournament as well. Okay, let's get to the GM meetings preview, Colby. I saw Steven Ellis liked my joke, so at least someone laughed at it. One issue that is apparently going to be on the agenda is the changes to potentially come to 3-on-3 overtime, Colby. I know some people have talked, hey, why don't you just extend it? If you make it 10 minutes, you'll never have another shootout again. Every game will be decided by 3-on-3 overtime. I know there's also been chatter about, do you need to add some sort of like an over and back rule in 3-on-3 to stop teams from doing the big long regroups and all of that? Where do you come out on the idea of either extending 3-on-3 overtime or adding an over back rule?
I think the over back rule is more interesting to me because I think you're going to get pushback from the PA if you try to extend the game time. You know, I'm just trying to be logical about it, Tyler. I don't think that the players with an 82 game schedule and a preseason and a long playoff want to see necessarily more hockey played. So that's probably where I'd fall in line with you on that one.
An easy win-win for everyone is you go to the PA and you say, we're going to extend 3-on-3 overtime, but we're going to cut the preseason schedule in half. That feels like a win. Hockey fans don't have to watch as much shitty preseason hockey, get less shootouts.
Yeah, but then you're dogging the guys who are trying to make the team every year. And as a guy who was always a bubble player to make the roster, preseason was incredibly important. And it's getting shorter and shorter every year, it seems like, as the calendar continues to get condensed.
One point I just quickly want to make on the idea of the over and back rule is, how do you differentiate between a shot and a pass? So, yeah. Like, if a player's at the top of the circle, they wind up and take a slap shot, it goes wide and rims all the way down the ice. Can they now not touch it? Does the play get blown dead?
Yeah.
I just think it's too confusing, and it's not quite as direct as, say, in basketball with the over and back rule. Because I think what you'll see then, if, again, you're allowed to miss the net and then go get the puck in your own end, you'll have guys who, when they feel they need a regroup, they will just rim it as hard as they can, and they'll be like, oh, I just missed the net. I missed my shot. And they'll get to go over and back that way. Like, it's just, I think adding, it's too confusing.
Well, there's creative ways. I think you look at lacrosse where once you step in the box, it's a certain amount of time before you have to get a shot on the net, indoor or outdoor. I think they can always test things at the American League level. I think that's one of the good parts about having the American League level. And I think, look, there are people that are probably smarter than you and I who could come up with a good solution to it. But they certainly need to figure something out, Tyler. I think we can all agree on that.
All right, let's get to our big segment for the day and talk a little draft with Steven Ellis in The Next Wave. The Next Wave is delivered by DoorDash, 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $25 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. It's the weekend. You don't want to cook. Let DoorDash handle it with restaurants, groceries, and more delivered right to your door. Steven Ellis with The Next Wave, as we do every week on the program. And Steven, you have some new draft rankings out, so let's sink our teeth into them and give me the player who's fallen the furthest down your list since the last time we talked about this.
Well, first off, your Mark Stone LTIR joke for Team Canada was actually like hilarious. So I've already received a couple messages of people thinking that was hilarious. The one I'm going here is out of Switzerland, Daniil Yusnikov, which I know when you look at the name, it looks like it says stinky. This is a guy that I think when I was talking to some scouts at the U18s last year, thought of as a potential top 15 player, kind of like David Reinbacher. He was playing against men pretty early in his career. And that was, you know, that was pretty impressive to see what he's able to do. But this year, he just hasn't looked necessarily comfortable playing in the National League this year. He's had to kind of bounce around different levels. Internationally, I think he's been okay. I saw him at the World Juniors, didn't like him at all. Saw him at the U18 Five Nations, he was good. This is a guy that, you know, has had a lot of pressure put on him early because a lot of people looked at Switzerland as this 06 group being really competitive, and they haven't been. And part of it, I think, is because Yusnikov has not really taken his game to another level. It feels like he hasn't really developed a whole lot over the last year, where he was one of the best players at that U18 tournament. He was playing over 20 minutes a night. He was blocking shots, hitting, creating offense. This year, it just looks like he's just a little just almost too relaxed, and he's not pushing the boundaries there to see what he could do. So I had him as a potential first round pick. Now I have him going at the very end of the second round. So I'm definitely falling on him, which is unfortunate because I really did like him early on.
Yeah. Well, it only takes one guy to like him. So we will definitely keep an eye on him as we go towards the draft. And look, I think we focus a lot on round one, Steven, but your job is to look a lot deeper than round one. So I'm just wondering, in this year's draft, which has kind of been talked about as not a deep draft, is there a Braden Point or a Brad Marchand, someone you can scoop up in the second or third round that comes out, you know, and starts putting together a Hall of Fame type of career?
Well, I wouldn't say Hall of Fame, but one guy that I'm keeping an eye on here is Igor Surin out of Yaroslavl in Russia. You see the numbers here, very impressive numbers playing against junior level players. He's got limited skill. It seems like he could just do whatever you want. Like when you look at what Demidov's doing out there as the top Russian born prospect, a top five prospect this year, I'd say the closest player in terms of pure skill is Surin, but I've kept him low in my rankings, and some guys have kept him even lower because he will just frustrate you with some dumb penalties. Like I don't know his penalty total, but I think he's on pace for like 100 penalty minutes this season. He can get caught being a little bit too lazy there at points, and just like, you know what he could do, and there's points where the puck's near him and instead of rushing for it, he's kind of just standing there waiting for the pass, and that doesn't work often. So this is a guy that if you get somebody to really kind of just push him, like, hey, like, you've got to bring this grinder mentality to the game out there because we know you're talented, but you don't put the effort in. If he could find out how to put that effort in, this is a guy that we could look at in a redraft top 15 player one day. But I like him. He's got some size. He can get nasty out there. He can put pucks in the net. He just got to do it on a consistent basis.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, there's also a defenseman in your rankings that he's making some serious noise right now. I think this is a guy that you were excited to talk to us about today.
Yeah, and that's Zane Parekh. And I can't remember the exact number of points right now, but I think he's like, the season's almost over. He's on pace for just under 100 points, 35 goals. he's a defenseman. Like, this is when I think of some of the best offensive defensemen out of the OHL the last couple of years. You look at Minchikov, who played on Saginaw. You look at Jimmy Drysdale, Brant Clark, and Parekh's up there. Just an incredible shot. So good with the puck. He's one of the biggest play drivers. And again, look at those numbers for a defenseman. That's impressive, because you don't typically see that at a 20-year-old defenseman, let alone a guy who's draft eligible. So I'm a big fan of him. He's got the size. He's very mobile. I think the big concern for him is he's still a work in progress defensively. And it's become a huge trend the last couple of years, where you see guys like Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes, where they're so good for the puck. They're also very good defensively, and players are trying to emulate that, but they're missing the defensively part of it. A good example is Henry Muse out of the Ottawa 67s. He only started playing defense like 4 or 5 years ago, so he's still on the new side of playing defense. He was a forward. And if they can get him to kind of tone down his defensive play and focus a bit more on that, I think more people will be talking about him. But when you look at Parekh, I think the upside is here for him to be just an incredible player if he can wrangle in his own defensive zone play. I have him at number 11 because there are players that are a bit more polished right now than him. But in terms of the upside, I absolutely love this guy being a potential, you know, redraft top four, top five, 5 years down the line.
Damn. We talked about diamonds in the rough in the draft, but also let's talk about some outside the draft. CHL free agents, players who are no longer draft eligible. You had an article up at Daily Faceoff with your top 10. Give us maybe one or two of your favorites.
Well, the one I really like is Hudson Thornton out of the Prince George Cougars. And he's the captain of this team. You look at the numbers, very good numbers. Nothing, you know, crazy for a defenseman at 20 years old. But this is someone who I thought he should have been drafted in 2022. And then he wasn't picked again in 2023. And I know I'm not alone on that. There was a lot of people in the public scouting sphere that were really surprised because they see a lot of potential here. I think the biggest issue is he can be, as one scout told me recently, he could be a bit of a loose cannon out there of the puck, where he's so skilled, and like Parekh, he's going to do something with it. But then he'll also just make the dumbest pass you've ever seen, or just make a complete brain fart out there, and you're wondering, okay, what just happened? So he's got to really refine his game. He looks like he's trying to panic too much when he doesn't need to, especially on a Prince George team that's got some good scoring options. I think that this is a guy that teams are going to have to take late in the draft, or give a good shot at here, because I thought he should have been taken late in the draft last year. Instead, you know, you don't have to worry about that. You can sign him as a free agent. I think there should be teams lining up for him because he's just got so much talent as a puck-moving defenseman that he reminds me a little bit from a stylistic standpoint, kind of like a Sean Durzi, kind of like a Jordan Spence. Both guys went to LA eventually. So I do think that he's someone the team should be looking at. One other player I would like to mention, though, Samuel Mayer out of the Ottawa 67s. Really good size. He can get nasty. He hits hard. He's kind of a player you could throw in that third pairing defense and be pretty happy with it. So when it comes to these CHL free agents, you're usually looking at depth guys at best, but you still need to be drafting. You still need to be looking at these guys. You still need to be scouting these guys. And I think this year it's a pretty good crop.
There you go. The next wave delivered by DoorDash. Mr. Ellis, fantastic stuff as always. Have a good weekend.
Thanks so much.
Hashtag Ask DFO time. And it is brought to you by Tim Hortons, where Roll Up the Rim is back, Colby, for Tim's 60th anniversary, and it is better than ever. To celebrate their big year, you can win some big prizes like the all-electric Volkswagen ID.4, Sunso Tilton Getaways, and cash, cold hard cash, with a daily jackpot of $10,000. Play today on the Tim Hortons app. We have a three-on-three idea in the YouTube chat from Mikey that I love, Colb. Three-on-three, no offsides. I honestly, if you took away offsides and icings, I think it solves the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, certainly does, because you could just kind of hang. You could have one guy hanging and two guys defending. And here's all I would say, though, about that idea is I can assure you that no matter what we do, give it one season, teams will figure out a strategy on how to make it less enjoyable. That's what we did with 3-on-3. You've seen it with the shootouts, with the different types of moves guys are doing. So, you know, I got to think more about that and to really how that would look. I mean, what do you think, Tyler? Like, why do you think that solves the problem?
because there's no reason to have to constantly regroup if you can just launch it down the ice to a guy, right? Like, I just think it would,
yeah, but don't
it would
you
extend
think the regroup
ice.
Is to buy yourself more time and space. I don't necessarily think it's about going on or off sides. I just think when a player starts to feel like all of his options in the zone are a little bit too stationary, you go out in the neutral zone just to try to drag guys out of their spots, and then you try to re-attack. I don't know if it's the offsides thing. I guess one guy, because then one guy would regroup, Tyler, and the other guy wouldn't, and then the defensive team would just wait. So
but the problem with boring 3-on-3 overtimes right now is too much structure. So the opposite of structure is chaos. If you take out icings and offside, I think you just open up more chaos.
That's fair. That, listen, I like what he's, I like what you said. It's from Mikey in the chat. Yeah. Like, I like that people are thinking outside the box. Like, again, I think someone's going to have a good idea and then they're going to have to fine tune that idea. But hey, look, Mikey, I like where your head's at. I'm not saying no. I just probably got to think a little bit more about it.
Daily bets for our friends at Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. I got a couple of parlays for you. Hit mine last night, so a nice juicy +160 payout on that bad boy. Here's a shot prop I like that's coming in at +200. Ryan Strome over 1.5. You can play this one on its own. He's hit it in 4 in a row for the Anaheim Ducks. He's been crushing it. +100 is a good payout. I like chasing the juice on a Friday. I'm throwing it with Pierre-Luc Dubois, who has also hit this shot prop in 4 consecutive games. Play those two together. A very nice +200 on the parlay. And I like the Jets. I like the Kings tonight. The money line, even the spread prices, are nowhere near what I actually want to play. So I'm going Kopitar to grab a point and Mark Scheifele to grab a point. Two top line centers in matchups where they should be able to score a lot. Those two together, +151, couple of nice juicy parlays over on Betano for me on a Friday night. And that brings us to Garbage Time at Colby. It's brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. Remember, you can get your picks in first off over at dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. These are for tomorrow. If you're still alive, good on you. It was a tough week over at the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. Also at Wendy's, if you're a loser like me, you can, A, try to win the Nuggie by heading to their TikTok at Wendy's Canada at 3:49 Eastern every single day. Actually, today's the last day for it. So if you want to get the Nuggie, Colby, look, it's even got a little pouch there on the front for your Nuggets to stay.
I got to take a picture of this because I need to have it just in case we don't have it for tomorrow. I got to show the wife the Nuggie.
It is great. And hey, if you're a loser in the pool, you can be a winner at lunchtime. $3.49 for a six-pack of nuggets today at Wendy's. Garbage Time, Colby. Okay, we had a couple we wanted to get to, but first, let's do the fact that the Flyers were down 5-on-4 to the Leafs in that game, and every player except one had a broken stick. We want to talk about chaos. This is chaos.
I mean, it's almost like in practice, sometimes the power play practices with the penalty killer sticks upside down. This is not going to go well, especially against a talented power play like the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the video here that we just have a still for you, but the video, they zipped it over, zipped it through, and then zipped it back through the crease a third time and scored. But you're in trouble. Okay. 3 or 4 guys without sticks in the National Hockey League, you're in trouble. But this is a funny sight. You don't see this very often. This was how the Flyers night went last night in a nutshell.
Yeah, I'm sure John Tortorella, wherever he was watching the game, was pulling out his hair. Yeah, at home. The other one, Kay, we talked about this yesterday in Garbage Time, and now no one knows what the hell's going on. Was the Jaromir Jagr stolen bobblehead thing real, or was it a hoax? Because they then put out a video of Jagr with a mini bobblehead, and he was sitting there saying, let's go find your friends. Is this real or not?
I mean, look, I think they went with it after they got stolen, but like, I do think it actually got stolen. I mean, I give the Pittsburgh Penguins credit for capitalizing on the marketing opportunities, but that's probably just one or two. I'm sure they had some samples around and they just decided they were just going to go with it. But the fans at the game did not get them. They were all given notices about it. So I'm staying with what I said yesterday. Whoever stole the bobbleheads, give them the chair.
I think it's all going to be a hoax. They're going to have some big, long video about Jagr finding him. That's where I'm putting my money. Jeremiah says it was real. So I don't know. Maybe I'll trust Jeremiah.
Jeremiah is wise. He's wise.
All right, that is a wrap on today's edition of the show. Again, that Nuggies promo with Wendy's last day. Head to their TikTok at 3:49 Eastern. Enjoy your weekend, hockey fans. Frank Saravalli back in the chair on Monday. Colby, great work this week, man. You enjoy a nice long weekend after pulling double duty. We'll chat with everyone on Monday.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.